Hello, and welcome to Folly's End Podcast, a podcast created to plant the Word of God into your heart, giving you the tools you need to lead a life full of the abundance Jesus said he came to give us all. That's John 10, verse 10. I'm Gareth Cox.
And I'm Jessie Cox.
And we're so pleased that you've joined us for the second part of our podcast called The Life of Jesus. And we're going to continue to look at the parable of the sower.
Yes. So last time we talked about just the power of the word and what the word of God can do, and that it has been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And we read the parable of the sower. And now we're just going to see what Jesus says about it, and because he explains it to the disciples who don't really understand. So if you have your Bible, you can have a look at it, and it's in Mark 4, verse 13. So the disciples come to Jesus and they said, "We don't get this." And he says this. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?"
Hang on a minute. So Jesus already did the parable.
Yeah.
Nobody understood it.
Yeah.
And now Mark's account is Jesus then explained it again.
Yeah. So Jesus says it to the multitude on the boat.
Okay.
And then when everyone's left, and it's just...
And what on earth was that?
Yeah. And it's just the disciples and Jesus. They come to him and say, "What? We don't get it." And then Jesus explains it again. And in all of the accounts of this parable, they show you that Jesus is explaining it. But we're going to look at Mark's one today. So he says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. They hear, and Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts." And this is the really cool thing about it being written in three different gospels. Because in Matthew 13, verse 19, it's telling the same story here, but it says, "And anyone who believes the word of the kingdom understands it not, then the wicked one comes and catches it away, which was sown in his heart. These are those which received the seed by the wayside." So he's saying here that if you don't understand the word, if the word doesn't make any sense, Satan comes immediately like a bird in the sky, swooping down and snatches it away. And this is such an important thing for us to understand, that if we don't get it, if we read it and go, "What?" then it's gone already. We don't understand it. It hasn't gone anywhere. It hasn't penetrated anywhere. So even as ministers, as preachers, as teachers, it's really important that when we talk about God's word, we make it understandable. So people that stand up there from the front and speak it with long words that they would never use, or in like Elizabethan English, and no one can understand it, that's not being an effective minister. Because people have to understand the word or it gets taken away from them. So that's the wayside. So Jesus goes on to explain this parable. So Mark 4 verse 16 says, "Likewise are the ones on stony ground, who when they receive the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." So there's like so much to say in that. So if we're kind of breaking this up into the categories of the ground that is sown, we've got the wayside where the fowls come and eat the seed because they don't understand it. Then we've got the stony ground, and we're looking at the stony ground now. The stony ground, it says, they don't have enough earth. So when the word takes root, it hasn't got anywhere deep to go. The root can't go down deep. So it springs up at the top. And when the sun comes and scorches them, because they've got no root, it just withers away. And I love what Jesus explains here. He says that when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And you can see that, like in church, people hear the word and they're like, "Woohoo! Yeah, amen, hallelujah!" And they're excited, and they get it, and it makes sense to them now. Now it's not just they don't understand it; they've understood it, they get it, they're excited. But as soon as persecution comes, they just fall over. They just can't hack it. And I even love the way that Jesus says this. He says, afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. So many times when people, they suffer kind of rejection or persecution, they feel it's so personal. Like, oh, it's my, you know, why are they having a go at me? Why are they upset with me? What have I done wrong that makes them like this? No, it's not because of you. It's for the sake of the word. There's somebody out there that doesn't want the word to take root in your life. So persecution, tribulations, difficulty, rejection comes to get that word out of you. It's not personal. It's not down to you. And because they've got no root in themselves, because this isn't something that is established within them, they can't weather the storm. Because there's no deep place within them. It just flattens them. So that's the stony ground. And then Jesus talks about the third ground, which is the thorny ground. And he says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So he's saying here that the thorny ground is people who have the word choked in their life. So they receive it, they understand it, they've got root in themselves, they've got soil, it goes in, it's deep, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulnesses of riches choke that word, and it doesn't produce any fruit.
So we looked at the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground. What do they, in our lifetimes, what does that look like? What are the, give us some examples of those three scenarios.
Yeah. So the wayside is when Satan comes and immediately steals the word.
Well, that was misunderstanding, wasn't it?
Didn't understand it. Yeah. Didn't make any sense. Just straight over the top of the head. Also can be, and I've seen this in church as well, if people are sitting there and they're listening, but they're not really listening. They're like on their phone, they're scrolling, they're texting somebody, you know, the kids are colouring and they're on the floor.
Distraction.
Just don't understand it. Not really engaged. And I think I have to be careful with this. You know, I can be listening to something, but I'm unstuck in the dishwasher or I'm, you know, folding clothes and I'm not 100% listening. So the wayside is being distracted and not understanding. The stony ground is when they receive the word with joy. They're excited. Like they want this truth. It makes sense to them. They understand it. And you often see these, I always think stony grounds are people are like, woohoo, yeah, in the background, you know, hallelujah, praise God. But they don't have any root in themselves.
There's no foundation, is there?
No, it doesn't go deep. It doesn't go deep to it. It becomes your own story. It becomes part of who you are. I often think sometimes when people are really quiet, it's because they're chewing on it. They're thinking about it. When it goes really deep within us and it's something that God has spoken to us personally, doesn't matter what anybody says, you can't take that away from me because it's what God said to me. So when we hear the word, it's really important that we are doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. That we don't just hear it and get excited about it, but we hear it and we think about it and we spend time letting it go down. And you'll see this, you know, when persecution comes, people are just offended. And it's that offense that takes the word out of our hearts. You know, how could they do this to me? And why are they so mean to me? And why are they so horrible? And it just gets the word out of your heart. And it doesn't come to you personally because you're bad or you're horrible. It comes to you to get the word out of your heart. That's the stony ground. And then the thorny ground is that the cares of this world and the deceitfulnesses of riches choke the word, and the word is unfruitful. And what are cares of this world? What's deceitfulness of riches? What is that that chokes it? Well, the cares of this world are just anything that you're dealing with. You know, you can have the word choked because you're raising a family and you're looking after the children and you haven't got a minute to think, or you're super busy and you're at work and you're concentrating on how you're going to pay the bills. That's just life that comes and can choke the word. And this is one of the strategies that I think the enemy has spent so much time building, is people living very busy lives where they haven't got time to think about the word. God says to Joshua, you know, meditate on this word day and night. Keep it before you. And we need time to think about the word for the word to be fruitful.
Do you think another example of that would be the people you surround yourself with? That could be the thorny ground.
Yeah, because they choke the word too. People say, can't stand for healing.
That's right.
Don't be ridiculous.
They give you lies, don't they?
Yeah. Mm. You know, Satan can use that. And one of the things that I didn't really understand about this parable was I thought, well, you were either the wayside or you were either the stony ground or you were either the thorny ground. You can be all of those things, and you can be all of those things in different areas. Like healing, you just might not understand it, so it just doesn't go anywhere.
I think we can recognize all of that in our own lives.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah.
We've all got a bit of that.
And you know, some areas you might be good ground. You could be good ground on finances, but you're stony ground in
relationships.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it.
Yeah, commitments. Yeah. It could be about your structure of your day. It could be all of those things.
And some things you get and you're just like, yeah, got it. And other things you're like, I got some work to do on that. And this is the thing that really excites me, because if the seed isn't the issue, right, the seed just produces it, then it's the ground that needs to be worked on. Well, I'm the ground, and praise God, I can work on my ground. And then if I can just get my ground to be good ground, then I can receive the word.
Well, the farmer is constantly tending to his ground, right?
Yes, that's great.
Completely turning it around every season, has to dig it up, turn it over.
Yeah.
Rejuvenate it, get it ready for the next season.
Yeah.
Every time we need to look at our hearts in exactly the same way, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, if we've got an area that isn't producing fruit and we've got an area that isn't living in abundance, and there's an area of our life where the word of God is not working, it is never a seed problem. It is always a heart issue. And that should excite you, because you can do something about that.
So we've looked at the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground. The opposite of that, perhaps the good ground. Can we look at that?
Yeah, and I think it's worth us looking. You remember I said to you that all three Gospels out of four have this parable written. So I think it's good for us to have a look at what each one of those say, so that we get a good understanding, okay, what is exactly the good ground? How do we be the good ground?
Okay, let's go.
So we've been having a look at Mark, and Mark 4 says, "These are they which are sown on good ground, which hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold." That's Mark. Now let's skip over to Matthew. Matthew 13, verse 23 says, "But he that receives seed to the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So there in Matthew, he says that he understands it. So one of the main things that we need to do to make sure that we are good ground is to understand the word. And just like we've looked at, you know, that's the wayside. If you don't understand the word, Satan steals it. So you have to understand it and have good root in yourself. We saw that on the stony ground, if you didn't have enough soil, if you didn't have enough root, the sun would come and it would be scorched and it would wither away. So it's important that we have a good amount of soil, that we are rooted and grounded in the Lord, that we understand him, and that his love is so effective in our lives that we are not offended when tribulations and trials come. In Matthew 13, verse 21, it's talking now about the stony ground. And he says, he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, he is offended. And when we have offense, we don't become good ground. So to be good ground, we need to understand the word. We need to have a good understanding of God, have depth of soil within ourselves, and not to be offended. And then I think Luke sums it up really nicely, how we can also be good ground. In Luke 8, verse 15, it says, "But that on the good ground are they which are honest and good in heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." This for me is huge, because when we hear God's word, we have to keep it. And that word keep it is a word that basically means having it in front of our eyes, where we meditate on it. You know, we saw in Joshua that God says, "Meditate on my word day and night." We have to keep the word in our hearts, and we have to protect it and be patient. Because if we're not patient, we miss out on the fruit. And you can see this, right? If you planted an apple seed in your garden and you got impatient and you dug it up, that seed isn't going to produce anything. But if you put it in the ground and you keep it, i.e. tender it, look after it, water it, it turns into an apple tree, which gives you apples. And likewise, the word of God is like that, that we have to tender to it, look after it, keep it, nurture it, and it will eventually bring fruit if we are patient.
I'm going to bring you back to the verse where it says, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and 100. What does that mean?
It means that people that hear the word of God can have different sizes of harvest, different sizes of fruit, if you like. Some have got like 30-fold times 30, some have got times 60, and some have got times 100. And most people don't understand why that is. A lot of people think, well, it must be the word of God that's done that. God's multiplied it by 30, or multiplied it by 60, or multiplied it by 100. That, like, God's mean that some people he gives a little, some gives he's middle, and some gives he loads. No, that's not right. It's the condition of our hearts that create that harvest. You know, if we keep it, if we tender it, if we have a good ground, then that seed reproduces according to its kind. You know, we see in Genesis, when God creates the earth, he says, you know, everything produces according to its kind. Cows have cows, sheep have sheep. We produce things because of the condition of our hearts. It's not God that's limiting our growth. It's us that limits our growth. You know, and I think the really interesting thing about this parable is, which of the grounds received the most? It was the grounds that had the least thorns, the least stones, the least cares, the least worries. It wasn't the grounds that had more. It's the ground that's got nothing in it, the ground that's just dirt. And so often religion teaches us that we have to have more, we have to be better, we have to be the best in order for God to bless us. That is not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works with us getting rid of the garbage, getting rid of the rubbish in our hearts, being just plain as dirt, and trusting in God and planting the word in our heart, and then we will get a harvest. And this is the other thing that I want us to pull out here. There are seeds in the word of God that will create things. So if you need healing, plant healing seeds. If you need finances, plant financial seeds in your heart. Look at this Bible like a series of seeds sitting on a shelf, and you plant the right seeds that you need in your heart for the position that you're in life. Because a lot of people don't understand that either. They don't understand that they're able to take the word of God and use it like that, and that it can create change in you without a lot of effort on your part. Someone said to me, oh, this is quite hard. And I was like, no, it's easy. You just got to read. Like that's all you got to do. It's just plant the words, keep it in front of you, meditate on it day and night. And it will just produce in your life supernaturally. It's so easy.
We started off this session by saying, this is a fundamental. If we don't get this, well, I think Jesus said it actually. We said that Jesus said, if you don't understand this, you won't understand the rest of it.
Mm.
How does that lead us into the rest of the stories and the rest of the parables? What's our understanding of this that helps us to understand the future?
Mm. I think there's a couple of keys here. I think one is that he's explaining how the word of God works. So when we're looking at him saying, he often says the kingdom of heaven is like, he's talking about this in a, this is how God's word will work in your life. And that's a fundamental. And I think a lot of the times when people come to parables, they're not looking it through this lens. Like, is he talking about how God feels about me, how God feels about his word? You know, how God is calling me, pulling me in. They take it kind of like it's come out of a left field. But Jesus says, if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand any parables. And I think a lot of the time in his parables, he is talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about how the kingdom works. And we'll look at this later on. But, you know, the parable of the lost coin or the pearl. And people go, oh, you know, you have to go and search for that pearl. You have to go and search for that coin. No, he's saying that's how he feels about you. And when you understand that when he says parables, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, it opens all of the parables up. You go, okay, I get it now. You're talking about how the kingdom of heaven works. And this, for me, is so important. Because if you understand that, number one, there's an enemy out there that wants to take the word out of your heart, that's the wayside. There's an enemy that wants to snatch it from you if you don't understand. Number two, you know, the stony ground receives it with joy, but you get offended when people have a go at you. And so you let go of the word and you don't hold it in your heart. Number three, the thorny ground, it goes in and you've got ground, you're ready for it, but you get distracted, you get busy, you get full of other things and you're not looking at the word. So when you're looking at another parable, when you're looking at another teaching of God, you've got to run through those three things. Do I understand it? Am I being offended? Am I keeping it? Am I watering it? Am I focusing on it? Because then the word of God becomes alive and powerful and makes change in your life. And if you really understand that, if you get the concept of what the Bible is trying to tell you, the change that it brings, it isn't you willpowering your way through, striving to be the best Christian you can be. You begin to live a life that looks like Jesus. Because his supernatural spirit in you is growing and transforming. And this is why in Romans 12, verse 2, he says, Paul says, be you not conformed to this world, but be you transformed through the renewal of your mind, that you may show what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. When you renew your mind in the Bible, and you understand it fully, it is life-changing. And that is what this parable is telling us.
Well, it certainly sounds like we've got an incredible journey ahead of us. The rest of this series is going to be filled with more stories and parables, isn't it? And we're going to go through each of those and hopefully following this template that means that we can get the best out of each of those parables and understand them.
Yeah.
And hopefully we've understood this one.
And I want to really encourage anyone that's listening, you know, to go and have a look at where those parables are and to read them for yourself and ask God, where am I in this parable? What is the condition of my heart? you know, help me to see this for me, that it makes sense in my life where I'm at. And when you see that, oh, actually, do you know what? I'm the thorny ground. I'm just really busy. I'm not spending time with the word. When God gives you that answer, you can start preparing your hearts that when you listen to God's word, it lights a fire in you and you're excited and you're hungry to get more because it's doing something, it's changing something in you.
So until we speak again,
be kind to yourself
and each other. You have been listening to the Folly's End podcast. If you'd like to know more information, get in touch via folliesendtrust.co.uk. Thanks for listening. See you next time.